Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's KM to AM on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Here. Let me act like I'm not mad about that loss. Let me act like I don't care about the double season being over. The Mets. The amazing Mets. The make it happen Mets. They can't lose. They can't be stopped. 888-808-1019. We're probably going to talk about the NFL draft tonight. Why not? I mean, it's Tuesday going into Wednesday. I think I'll be on during the draft. I have nothing right now as a sports fan, honestly. It's not fun right now. I know this too shall pass. We got to talk about the Yankees. That game started to grind my gears. The Yankees are starting to piss me off a little bit. And, yeah, they're still in first place. Yeah, it's a long season. It's a long season, but like I was saying, they're still in first place, 14-10. One game lead up on the Boston Red Sox. Don't tell me about the standings in April. Nobody cares. Of course they do for a nightly radio show. It's pending, though, because the Boston Red Sox are playing right now, and they have a lead right now. And it's the bottom of the eighth right now, 8-3. Up at Fenway, so I'm going to assume that the Red Sox are going to win that game. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Like I said, don't tell me about the standings. What can I tell you? Ben Rice is back, right? He had the elbow contusion. He got hit by a pitch. I never thought I'd be so excited to see Ben Rice in the lineup leading off. Like, just the fact that, like, I knew he was coming back, but when the lineup comes out, I'm like, yeah, Ben Rice. And he gives you that pop first pitch. Puts the Yankees up 1-0, and you feel good about where things are heading tonight. Or at least I did, right? I'm like, okay, all right, we're going to bounce back after losing last night. And no, they did not bounce back. So just like that, the Yankees have lost 3 out of their last 4. Just like that, the Yankees have lost 3 out of their last 5 series. And just like that, if you're a Yankees fan, you're starting to examine this team. You start with Brian Cashman, the general manager, and you look at the roster and guys that we are counting on. Like, I don't want to start, you know, it's too early, man. But, like, we got to have the conversation. Like, Pablo Reyes or a J.C. Ascara, even the options out of the bullpen, or the fact that, like, you know, we're relying on Will Warren. And I'm not mad at Will Warren tonight. Will Warren is a young guy in his first real season that was supposed to be a depth piece that is now getting multiple starts. And you can make the argument that the Yankees should have won every one of his starts. Here's another start where TWTW, the Will to Warren, he was willing his way through this one. He retired 10 in a row. It was one-hit baseball for Big Willie style, young William. And so I guess that's why I'm mad too, because when you do get these performances from young guys like Ben Rice, hitting a solo shot to crack that game open right away to put you up. And, like, not for nothing, you're going against arguably their best pitcher in Tanner Bibee, and you made him work. You grinded him out. Like, he had his career high in pitches, or at least his season high in pitches. He was over 100 pitches when he was in that last inning, and it's like, okay, so good. We're getting their starter out of the game, and we got our young guy going, and I don't know, man. That game didn't need to go that way. But, yeah, there's a few things that are bothering me with the Yankees, and when I look at the Guardians, that's exactly where they get you. That's the exact kind of game that they want to play. That's the exact kind of game that falls into their lap, and they take it every time. In their ballpark, you play like that, you make mistakes like that, you make bad decisions, or, you know, they put the ball in play, they get on base, small ball, soft contact, they put pressure on your defense, they run, they steal, they double steal, and before you know it, you lose a game that you probably should have won 2-0 or 2-1. You lose that game 3-2 and you can't score. 888-808-1019. It was the sixth inning, right? Because you try to, and I know this is a stretch where the Yankees are playing a bunch of games without a day off. I know this is a stretch where the Yankees have already played, let's see, 3, 6, 10, 11, 12 games. They've got this last game coming up tomorrow and then an off day. But so what? Even they asked Boone about it. He's like, this is baseball. This is what we do, and it's early in the season. You know, and I hear people asking about that, and it's like, they're not tired yet. They're not pressing yet. They're not, you know, they're just making mistakes. Just as soon as you were ready to say, look at this Yankee defense, right, behind the no-no that Max Fried had going and some of the web gems that we saw in Tampa, just as soon as you were ready to be like, look at the Yankees defense. This defense has improved. There's balls bouncing off guys in the infield. Guys can't make basic throws. Balls falling in the outfield. And it's, I don't know, it's stuff to talk about. 888-808-1019. It's not as tight. It's not as crisp as you would like. You know, Jazz was starting to grind my gears a little bit from Friday, him getting ejected, to him having some errors and mistakes, him swinging out of his shoes. I know he hit a homer, but still, he's feast or famine. He's homer or nothing right now, and we need with his speed to get on base. He kind of came out of the doghouse a little bit with the sac fly, and like that should have been all it took. That should have been all it took, but whatever. I think he needs a day off. He fouled a couple balls off himself, where I'm like, he's hurt now. Get him out of the game, but whatever. The umpires, I'm not even going to speak on, but like the scorecard from last night came out how bad that guy was behind home plate. They're just always bad. He called 17 pitches incorrectly. And so for the Yankees, you have to overcome your own mistakes. You have to overcome the guys behind home plate and the guys that are at first base, third base, and maybe even sometimes a scorer. Maybe your own manager, who knows? It's just, you're losing to the Guardians, and the Guardians they're pesky. They're a first-place team. They're 14-9. They're first place in the Central, and they play a good brand of baseball there. And it fell into their hands in the sixth inning. You guys know what happened. I don't have to recant it, but I will, because it pissed me off. Will Warren goes into that inning, and he's got, you know, 10 retired in a row, and only one hit, and it's Stephen Kwan, who he's got to face again. And Stephen Kwan is a hit machine, one of the best hitters, one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball. This is your young guy. Maybe you want to protect him. Maybe you want to say, all right, that's enough, kid. Let's end off on a good note. But, you know, you give him the chance to go through the order, you know, trying to will himself, you know, through again. And it doesn't go the way that you expect. Kwan gets a knock. Jones gets a knock. Let me pull the box score up. As I said, I don't need to go through it, but I will, because I'm just like, it did not have to go down that way. But I don't know if you were like me. I'm sitting in my living room. I'm like, I could feel it coming. I'm like, this is it right here. This is where we took it a little bit too far. I don't need the box score. I had my notes sitting there. Let's see what I wrote. Leiter Jr. is shown warming up. He was in the circle of trust. He's 1 foot out of it right now, but I'm not really even mad at him. He gets the first out and retires Ramirez, their best hitter, but there was still work to do. Next batter, 0-1 count, double steal attempt on. Well, they're going. Wild pitch. Stephen Kwan is motoring home the whole time. Tying run on third. Ball goes in the air. Judge, who had made a good play in right field going to his left, tries to run in and make the diving attempt and can't make the play. The ball goes past him. So run scores. And then Leiter Jr., you can't have a four-pitch walk to Naylor there. It just can't happen. Throw strikes, bro. You can't just four-pitch walk that guy. And then the ball goes into play the next batter. Bounces off Volpe. He can't make the play. infield hit, and that ends Leiter's night. And then we got to bring in Tim Hill. So, yeah, the Yankees, four errors in their last four games. And, you know, like I said, soft contact, runners on, putting pressure on these guys. That's what the Guardians do. They'll put the ball in play, and they'll dare you to make the play. So we'll start with the Yankees. I think the Mets are going to finish this one off. And the Devils series is probably going to, they might just get swept. The Mets are out of control. Like, I'm not even going to hold you. Like, just every night I watch the Mets and I look at the Mets and I dub them the Make It Happen Mets. And some guy DM'd me and he was like, save us with your Make It Happen Mets. We know it's nonsense. We know you hate us. I'm like, bro, I hate you. No, I didn't say that to him. But I'm like, listen, I'm a baseball fan. I'm a sports fan. You can't deny what is going on in Queens. They're not losing in their ballpark. They refuse to lose. There's a vibe going on at Citi Field that no one can deny, even Yankee fans that hate the Mets and don't want to see them prosper. Like, they're doing it right now. As you heard that Nas playing. Juan Soto at bat right now, bottom of the eighth, runner on, two outs, Mets lead 5-1. You know, the Yankees, they'll get right. They'll get right when they come back home on Friday, hopefully. Maybe they need the weather. Maybe they need the New York air, the New York vibes. Because I don't know, when I see them go out to Cleveland, and even before they went out, right, like, you know, Boone and those guys, Boone said something about taking his, you know, cold weather clothes, his jacket, and sending it to Cleveland because they were going to Tampa where it was 80, 85. And I'm like, yeah, well, these guys are very dependent on the weather. And it wasn't freezing in Cleveland, but it's not exactly hot. So, yeah, they cooled off. We've got NBA playoffs. We've got Stanley Cup playoffs. The Devils are down in Carolina. And someone in my chat just told me, oh, we still have plenty of chances. You got to believe. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to believe. I don't necessarily have to believe. 888-808-1019. I don't know. I'm having a hard time pretending like I'm enjoying it. But I do love sports, and I do know the draft is coming, and that is always fun. And it's baseball, Susan. Not Susan's brand of baseball that the Yankees are playing right now, but it's baseball. Baseball is going to baseball. It's going to humble you. It's going to frustrate you. I just find myself watching the Yankees from some of the shenanigans that have gone on in this last week where I'm like, come on. And then, like, we're wasting Judge another a four-hit night, his 12th of his career. He's hitting over 400 again. He can't be stopped. And, you know, all the talk about Judge and, you know, who he used to protect, who was batting in front of him. Like, who's batting behind Judge? Belly goes 0-4, and I don't know. I don't know what to tell y'all. Another knock from Goldschmidt. But again, the Yankees just LOB. Runners left on base. 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. Team LOB 7. Not good enough if you're trying to bounce back with the series on the line against the Guardians. Last time you were there, right? It was Yankee Classics. The Yankees end the pennant drought. Hunter Gaddis in the game. How about Cade Smith? Cade Smith's rendition of God Bless America. Nah, different Cade Smith. But how about Cade Smith? You know, as we talk about Devin Williams and his struggles, and last night I was mentioning Emmanuel Clase and his struggles, they should have pitched Clase tonight. They're trying to save him. They're trying to spare him. He would have loved to get that outing that Cade Smith got. He threw four pitches. The Yankees went quietly into the night, 6-10 starts. I'm going to let you guys talk. 888-808-1019. Ron is in Connecticut on the fan. Go for it, Ron. Help me.
Yo, Keith, great show, man.
Thanks
for joining. I need some advice.
Yes.
Thanks, man. You're in the media, right?
Kind of.
Well, when you go into a press conference and Aaron Boone has given us the same old excuses and, you know, oh, it was a bad spin on the ball. Oh, this pitch was this. You know, it seems like it's, you know, the same rinse repeat every year. When it's a good team, we don't hit. We do bad fielder. We play, a lesser team. We crush them and we look awesome and everybody's giving us the high fives. I mean, when does somebody take account and ask Boone, like, hey, you always say this. Do you need to hold more drills? Do you need to, you know, you always tell us you have behind closed door meetings. How many have you had? 70 by now over the years? Like, it doesn't seem to change the pattern.
Yeah, with Boone, he's never going to throw these guys under the bus. And I'll say this because it made me laugh. And shout out to Sweeney Murdy. Years ago, I couldn't watch the Yankee post game because I'm like, Boone is saying the same thing. I'm losing my mind. Exactly. So I started listening to Sweeney Murdy's post game when Sweeney, I don't know what year, this had to be like 2019 or 2020.
Right, when he was doing it, yeah.
Because I'm like, all right, they're just going to give us a little bit of Boone. I won't have to see him, and if I don't want to listen, I just turn the volume down or cut it off. And like Sweeney was so measured and calculated with how we do it, how he does it. Emmanuel does a good job too. But it's funny you say that because right. Like this is now 8 years. Like Boone is not going to throw these guys under the bus. Definitely not early in the season. He's always going to take up for them.
I don't worry about the Boone. I know I'm not getting anything out of Boone. My point is, are the media allowed to act like hold them to the fire? Like, all right, you told us this.
No, because
it's same answer. Like,
it's a working environment. I actually do know a lot of those reporters. I've had a lot of them on my show. It's a working environment, so they don't want to ask anything or say anything, even though it would actually help them with their writing and their tweets and stuff. But they don't want to say anything to really like ruffle feathers or get under their skin because they're going to see him tomorrow. You know, it's like so you got to come to work with this guy.
If you don't work for the Yankees, Keith, if you don't work for the Yankees, are you still worried about getting fired or saying too much?
No, it's not that they're worried about getting fired. They're just worried about their relationship and their standing with the Yankees manager that they have to interview every day. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. As far as like drills go, we're past that. Spring training is over. The defense is improved. That's why I said just as soon as you're ready to say that the Yankees defense.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's better. Man, they show you they're not. They show you they can still be had. In little spots, when the pressure's on, when the game is on, when the series is on the line. Brian is in Barnegat next on the Fan. Talk to me, Brian.
Hi, Keith. How you doing tonight?
I'm not going front. Like, I'm not doing great. Like, that game pissed me off. The Devils game was just frustrating. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get anything going after the first 3:51, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't have anything sports-wise right now. I'm just ready for the draft. Hopefully the draft is fun and exciting and some craziness, some trades happen.
Yeah, I agree with you with the Yankee game. It started out good with the Ben Rice hitting a home run on the first pitch, and then that sixth inning came. Was it the sixth?
Yeah, it was.
I can't even remember.
Yeah. It was a car crash.
And that happened, yeah. And it just wasn't fun at all. And then the ninth inning, you go down on four pitches?
Four pitches.
I thought it was
yep.
three.
And Boone said that they put good swings on them. That
please don't even get me started. and then you got the Mets who do nothing but win. You know,
yeah. And you know what the conversation is going to be?
It's driving me crazy.
They're well managed. They pitch well. Their bullpen is excellent. They manage that bullpen well. You know, they're not leaving runners on base. And even when they were struggling, they find a way to win. And, you know, even how they just added on three insurance runs here in the seventh inning. Thanks for the call, Brian. 888-808-1019. Maybe that's why I'm also just not feeling so great. Because I know as soon as this Mets game ends, incoming, Mets fans are going to want to talk about how it feels like a postseason environment in Citi Field. Congrats. You've doubled your like average attendance in April this April. Like, welcome to the party. Good for you. But anyway, let me keep taking these Yankee calls because I see Paulie creeping in here. Here we go. Well, first Mets fan on the fan tonight.
No, this has nothing to do with the Mets. Can the Yankees fans just realize that they're 14-10 and the world isn't like crumbling down around them?
They should probably be like 16-8 or...
Yeah. I mean,
there's at least two games that I'm like, bruh, maybe three actually.
Listen, this is a... You don't want to lose these types of games.
Yeah, they should be 17-7.
Sure, and like watching that sixth inning kind of gave all Yankee fans horrors of the fifth inning in the World Series, I'm sure. But again,
we're not thinking about the World Series. We're just thinking about playing better baseball.
But that's with small knocks, defensive issues, all those things that plagued you guys in the World Series. That's all I'm saying. But again, it's April 22nd. Aaron Judge went 4-for-4. He's probably the best baseball player on the planet
and they
right
wasted
now.
It. Like, he's going 4-for-4, and there's nothing behind him. And like, I hate to get on some of these guys, but I'm gonna tonight. I'm not gonna go Sal Licata, but I am gonna start examining. Like I said, Cody Bellinger. But I know he had the back and the sickness and the whatever, and put it in the books. The apple is smoking. Why do they grill the apple? What's the smoke for the apple for in center field?
They never used to smoke the apple. It just would like raise up. It dips a little
Is that a new thing? The smoke?
Yes.
A grilled apple. The apple is grilling in center field at Citi Field as your make it happen Mets beat the Phillies, take the series, add another game to their first place lead. That's a 5-1 victory. And don't look now, folks. These are my Mets. I don't hate the Mets. These are my Mets. I am forced to watch them and know all about them. And, here comes Frankie Montas. Don't be surprised if you see the best out of Frankie Montas. The Mets are winning the World Series, man. Just book it. It is what it is. John is in MassBeth on the fan. Go for it, John.
Man. Keith, I'm sick and tired of Anthony Volpe, man. He's got over 1,200 at-bats in his career. He is what he is, and that's the utility fielder.
I was going to get really there. Go on, because I went from Bellinger, I was going to skip over Goldschmidt, talk about Jazz a little more, and get to Volpe. They just attack him with fastballs.
It's not the popular thing to say, I know. He's got all those little groupies, all those 16 to 24-year-olds that, see themselves like him. The local kid from Jersey that grew up around here is a Yankee fan. They try to, paint this image
one
on
of
him.
Us.
Yeah.
One of us.
Listen, one of us. You go to the bleachers, they're cheering their ass off for this kid,
Loud roll call for Volpe.
With the
pinching fingers. He took the Rizzo,
utility.
Tommy Cutlets.
Yeah, he's just a utility guy. You know what? Put Peraza in
there. He's a really good shortstop, but the thing is, John, if he's going to bat around 200 and strike out this much and not get on base to be able to steal, he's got to be damn near perfect in the field.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Peraza defensively is just as good as Volpe. Offensively, Peraza's floor is pretty much what Volpe is at now. Why not just give Peraza the next 6 to 8 weeks to start, see what we get out of him?
There's no way they
Peraza's
would do that.
Got 200, he's got 200 at-bats spread over 4 years. And Volpe's got over 1,200 for the last two seasons, It's like, give Peraza some decent run. Give him 6 to 8 weeks to start.
No, dude.
See what he has. See if there's any. But they're not, because it's not the popular thing. Just like when they called up Volpe in 2023 to try to get the fans something excited about, because we had a hole in left field. We had a hole in third base. So we went into spring training knowing those holes were there, and they had to get the fan base something excited about. Let's call up the local kid even though he wasn't really ready. But he had
won
a good
the job
spring.
In spring training. Thanks for the call, John. Volpe won the job in spring training. We were done with IKF. No one wanted to see IKF. Peraza was in that competition in spring training. Peraza in 2022 played in the damn ALCS. But Volpe was a first-round pick that will forever be linked to Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson because they played for Team USA together. And there were many people that thought that Volpe was going to be, you know, I guess with his size, a better hitter. You know, because both of those guys are like Bobby Witt Jr. can run like the wind. Gunnar Henderson, he can hit for power. Both of those guys can really hit. And they're bigger body players. I think Volpe, people were expecting him to bat closer to like 300. And I know that's ridiculous. No one is, I can't say no one when we have Judge hitting over 400 and Goldschmidt not far behind him. But like, I don't know. This is a big year for Volpe, and it started off with the torpedo bats and the Volpedo nickname, and it was going pretty good with the homers, and now he's kind of slowed down. And I don't know, do they drop him in the order? It sucks to have him and Jazz in the middle of the order when Jazz is striking out, not tonight. Jazz kind of worked his way out of it because when Jazz skipped that ball in front of Goldschmidt today, I'm like, bro, make a throw. Gleyber Torres is batting 304 right now, and we're always going to talk about Gleyber Torres because Gleyber Torres just got the short end of the stick. We all, he was the whipping boy. We all were, every time Gleyber did something, pointing the finger at Gleyber. But with Jazz, it's like the antics. He was starting to piss me off, and maybe I'm just starting to look at him differently. I'm like, he fouls a ball off his leg, and he's walking around for like 90 seconds. Bro, let's go. Let's go. You all right? If you got to come out of the game, put Peraza in. But like, if you're good, then let's go. And like I said, he came out of the doghouse for me because he had the sac fly, situational hitting, instead of swinging for the fences, swinging out of his shoes. But I don't know, man. I think the Yankees, it's just baseball. As soon as you want to start saying like, oh, they look pretty good in Tampa the first two games, and then obviously Devin Williams and Oswaldo and some other things blew that third game. They should have swept. I think that's why I had negative feelings going into this. Even when I came in on Monday, I'm like, it feels like they split that series by taking 3 out of 4 and not sweeping. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Rob in Edison.
Hey, Keith. How's it going, man?
It's gone. Just being a fan on the fan talking about the Yankees right now.
And didn't Volpe get really hot last year after he had that veal parmesan from Grandma in Jersey? They got to revisit that.
So, but that was 2 years ago with Austin Wells, right? Because supposedly they had a chicken parm dinner and it was Volpe's aunt who made the parm. And Wells was telling him, hey, you got to go back to what you were doing with the Somerset Patriots. And then he got hot. And you know what also, too, with Volpe? Volpe did hit that grand slam, and he did have a decent run in the World Series and in the postseason, kind of bouncing back. So he's the Yankee shortstop, and he's just got to come out of it. And we need him to come out of it now. It's very early, but he started off pretty good, and now he's kind of sank under it a bit, and he's got to come back out of it again.
I think the Yankees should get some cannolis and some gabagools in the clubhouse.
I'm sure that could easily be done. It's probably already done.
No, but really, they haven't had a leadoff hitter since Brett Gardner. I think the table setter situation on the Yankees is a big problem. I want Ben Rice batting behind Judge and then Goldschmidt. If Volpe could ever develop into that leadoff hitter that Brett Gardner was, or, God forbid, what Jeter used to give them, really set the table. I want table setters in front of Judge. I mean, Rice is nice. He'll hit a home run leadoff every once in a while. But, I mean, I want ducks on the pond when Judge is coming up the bat.
Yeah, you bring up a good point, Rob. And it's something that I was going to get to as I'm talking about having, Jazz and Volpe in the middle of the order. And sometimes they're just striking out or grounding out and leaving runners on. And then even like a night like tonight, you have Dominguez right behind him as I'm going down the order. Dominguez with 2 strikeouts. He's a rookie. And, yeah, he's going to run into a homer here and there. Like he hit that homer two nights ago, but it's funny because last year it was Gleyber Torres, it was Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and it's like that is a tough three for any pitcher to have to face. And now, whether it's Ben Rice, Paul Goldschmidt, Judge, or Paul Goldschmidt, Ben Rice, Judge, or you know, even Judge batting second, like it's still tough. But you kind of want somebody else at the leadoff, and Ben Rice can run a little bit, but it's like with Ben Rice's power and how he's hitting the ball and driving the ball, you would think that you want him lower in the lineup. Cody Bellinger's got to break out of it. Jazz Chisholm's got to get his average up and not just be, you know, seven home runs and swinging for the fences. Volpe's got to get on. He's got to try and get back to, like, not even hitting for power, but hitting doubles, just hitting the ball. They're challenging with fastballs up in the zone. He's got to be able to drive those. Like, if they're giving you that, you got to know that. And then, you know, Ascara being the backup catcher, spelling Wells. Wells is cooled off, too. So, you know, we were thinking this lineup was deeper. We were thinking, oh, look at the production. You know, we didn't lose that much losing last year's 22 because this year's 22 is Ben Rice doing what he's doing. But, man, if it's all at the top, man, there's a bunch of zeros. When you look at this box score and the Yankees having six hits, Judge having four of them, Ben Rice having one, and that was the first run of the game, and then Goldschmidt is good for a knock a game. Other than that, bro, it's just donuts, 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 and that's not good enough. Two runs is not going to be good enough, especially against a Guardians team that they're just lurking. They're just waiting against young Will Warren. Okay, you're going to let him face us for the third time around? You're going to go to Mark Leiter Jr.? We got something for that. Okay. Steve in Malvern, New York, how you feeling? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Long time. The Mets, they got nothing on the Yanks this year.
Excuse me, say what?
They got nothing on the Yanks this year, the Mets.
The New York Mets, okay, go on. They have nothing on the Yanks this year, and?
We are not little brother.
Nah, no one's saying that. No one's saying that. Where are you going with that? The Mets are good, though. The Mets are winning every game. They have a winning streak going on right now. They're in first place. They play good baseball.
Yes. So I was happy Easter, by the way. I was putting my kids to bed. I know you have young kids, too.
Happy Easter to you as well. It's been a couple days now. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Now I'm about to talk about the Mets. And I know there are some people that hate when I talk about the Mets, and there are definitely some Yankee fans that hate when I'm complimentary of the Mets, but that's okay. That's fine. Let's get out of this big brother, little brother stuff. Let's just watch baseball and take the baseball of it, right? They're going up against their division rival. They're going up against a team that they knocked out of the postseason last year, that at stretches of last year, people said was the best team in baseball. Stretches of last year, the Philly social media people were talking World Series and Red October, and it became a blue and orange October pretty quickly. And I myself said, the Phillies are going to want some get back against the Mets. The Phillies are going to want some payback for what happened. Like they haven't gotten any payback. They can't get no payback. They walked into a buzzsaw. They walked into a Citi Field that, let's see how many they drew tonight. Fans are showing up to, right? As soon as people, 36,468. That's solid for them. That's solid for them there on a Tuesday night. It doesn't matter who it is or how it gets done with the Mets, but it all starts with Lindor. Again. Lindor leading off with his energy and him being the captain. And don't look now, like, for all the talk about a struggling Lindor and a slow April, Lindor is going off in Citi Field. His average is above 300 now. He had three hits tonight. If you look at him in his last 30 games, or his last 15 games, because we haven't even got to 30 games yet. His last 15 games now, 23 hits, 5 homers, 11 ribbies. The guy is doing it. And they're restoring a feeling in Queens that they had in October, but they were just getting going. And now, with this pitching coming along, like, bro, what are we talking about? Griffin Canning? Griffin Canning is striking out people. Griffin Canning is only giving up one run. Griffin Canning? We laughed when they signed Griffin Canning for like $4 million. He's 3-1, gets the win tonight. And their bullpen is nails. They didn't give up anything. They're holding the almighty Phillies lineup to one run with Trey Turner and Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos. And they added Max Kepler and JT Realmuto. And not for nothing, Bryson Stott, he's having a good little year too, but it does not matter right now because the Mets are playing with this chemistry, this energy, this fan-driven mojo because their fans are showing up to support them. You cannot discredit that. It's a huge difference from last year. Like I said, they doubled their attendance. Last year at this time, they were pulling in 15 to 17,000 fans. Now, this past weekend, they had over 42,000 there. Winning is what attracts people to the ballpark, and that's what I said. You know, my take that caught a lot of views and shares preseason was me talking about the Mets and all the gimmicks, right? That the gimmicks don't lead to winning. The gimmicks aren't what's going to sell the tickets. So they can have a Mets house, an amazing day, and a dance crew, and a five-borough race. But ultimately, like, the Yankees draw people because the brand is built off of consistently winning. Well, the Mets are winning, and everybody wants to roll with the winners. And to the victor go the spoils. They're 17-7. They are in first place. They have lost one game in their building so far. And like you could say that they haven't really played anybody. I'm not doing that. I know some people are saying, oh, they played the Marlins. Oh, they played. They lost that series to the Twins. Okay. They're streaking, and I'm impressed. And it doesn't matter if it's Pete Alonso. It doesn't even have to be Juan Soto. Honestly. Now, like last week was the week to like laugh at Juan Soto. There's nothing to laugh at. Last week was the last week to examine Juan Soto because of the Mike Puma article, because of his struggles and grounding into an unassisted double play, striking out. It doesn't matter. Like, that's the scary part, too. If their lineup is getting it done with Jose Huascar having two hits in the nine spot and Griffin Canning going out there giving you five solid innings and a bullpen that they can go to with guys like, you know, A.J. Minter and Max Kranich, and I know he didn't pitch tonight, but, like, anybody that they bring out of that bullpen is solid, too. Edwin Diaz, the most shaky guy, the highest-paid guy. What I'm saying is wait till they get, like, Frankie Montas back, Sean Manaea back, Jeff McNeil is on the way back, Francisco Alvarez is on the way back, and they don't even need him because Luis Torrens, for $100,000, he's balling like he's been in the league for a while. So, I don't know, man. Everything is turning up. Goal for the Mets. I can't hate on it. I'm not mad at it. I think it just compounds some of the other things for me. 888-808-1019. Yankee fans on the line. Stay there. We'll get to you. I do see some Knicks fans calling in. We're going to talk Knicks. We're going to talk NFL draft. And now we're going to open it up to the Mets fans that want to chime in about what they're seeing with their team, the success that they're having in their building, and this winning streak. What are they, 6 wins in a row now? They just took the series from the Phillies, and that's 6 wins in a row in their building. Let's talk about the Mets. Let's talk about the Yankees. If you've been on hold, stay on hold. I will get to you. Keith McPherson on the fan. Let's talk to Richie in Queens. Welcome back, Richie.
Keith, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. And, yeah, you summed up the Yankees. You mentioned to a quick with Volpe. A total disappointment at this point. Third year. Low on base. He was the kind of guy you would think would be a kind of guy to get the game, you know, the innings going and move, get some stolen bases. Obviously, when you're not on base, you can't steal bases. Now, I know he's giving you good defense, but he wasn't supposed to be there for that. And Jazz is what he is. Jazz, I should say. You know, he's always been a high strikeout kind of guy and low on base. So I just don't want them to get into that routine that they've always been, you know, where it's home run or nothing. You like to see, and that's what the Mets are doing real quick. They're just making contact, moving runners up. Guys in the bottom of the lineup, the 230 hitters getting key hits. It's been amazing because I didn't think they'd be this good. But, Keith, because you're a basketball guy, and I respect when it comes to listening to you about it, I was really, really disappointed about last night. The Knicks never, ever take a lead and put a team down that they should. If you look at OKC, even Indiana, the better teams, they seem to like, okay, it's our building and we're going to the lights out. It shouldn't be where at the end of the game, Bridges has taken that shot. Shouldn't get to that point. And shouldn't be that Towns gets 10 shots and, you know, and OG is kind of left out. And Brunson, as much as I love him, I think he might have got grief on the fan today. Just too much one-on-one. And Tibbs never has plays to seem like, especially at the end of the game, you've got to force it into Towns. Don't you agree? Doesn't he have to have touches in close games?
I'm not forcing it to a guy that's shying away from the moment. It's always Brunson's moment. He's the closer late in games. He's the guy with the ball in his hands. He got it to the next hottest guy. Mikal Bridges had 19 points. He was the guy that actually was the second leading scorer, but he's not a closer. He's not like that. And what I think is it's a series. I think what you saw with Campaign in the first game and what you saw with Brunson and Josh Hart kind of closing them out in the first game in that ridiculous run, it gave them a different look in the second game. But there's still multiple looks that they can give them. And I think here is where we'll see their coach. I think in the end of the game, they'll have a better strategy. I think in the end of the game, it won't just be ISO ball or Jalen Brunson pounding a ball, dribbling a ball, trying to figure something out. If nothing's there, kicking out. But like Brunson had shots. Bridges had shots. Everybody was killing Brunson today and people are quitting on Brunson today. I'm like, no, hell no, no way. Because okay, if you want to get out of this first round, you need him. He's got to consistently score 30. He's got to make clutch shots. He's got to draw fouls. He's got to try to draw his fouls. I don't mind him flopping around because that's to get the attention of the referees who were calling it one way for the Pistons. So I don't know. I was kind of disappointed with Knicks fans. Act like you've been there. Act like this is not your first rodeo. It's a series. You're gonna lose games in a series. You could still beat them 5-1. You could beat them 4-2. You could beat them 4-3 in advance. Do not quit on Jalen Brunson. He's out there playing on an 80% ankle, and he's playing with guys that are shying away from the moment, that are tired down the stretch, that are not looking to say, hey, give me the ball, I'm gonna go put it in the hoop. They're kind of looking at him like, grab your cape, you got it, Cap.
Yeah, I agree with that too, but I also, they got Towns for this moment. They got Towns because he was the prolific scorer. They got to put him in that
okay,
spot.
Okay, so you know what
the
they're
going
to do?
It's and, a major and, hurt.
And everybody's going to be waiting for it. Me,
yeah.
You, everybody in the city of Motown, Detroit, they're going to be waiting on it. Fourth quarter, Karl Anthony Towns, show us what you can do. And when they body him, yep, when they get physical with him, when they don't let him have his way and he gets frustrated and it doesn't work out, then I don't know. We'll see. Maybe that's not the look they go with because it's going to be so predictable.
I'm real quick with the draft. It's so confusing to you what to go. You know, we've talked about this in the past. They are in such dire straits, and I'm talking about Shane and Dable, what they're going to do at this point. You know, if they pass on Sanders, because it looks like he's going to drop maybe to 12 or 13, so, again, not getting a quarterback. Maybe they get the best player, whether it's Travis Hunter, whether it's Carter. But, again, if it somehow that Sanders turns out to be a decent quarterback, like they passed on Knicks, okay, and they passed on Penix, they still don't have a quarterback at this point. You know, how long do you stick with Wilson? Is he a one-year fix? So it's such a thing that they trade up, to get the quarterback, to get Cam Ward's out of the picture at this point. There's no way I don't think, you know, Tennessee's going to give that up. So I'm just really, really curious how what they do. I think it's going to be really, really interesting. You know, Carter looks like a blue chip, and so does Hunter. But again, not to have a quarterback again, and if you play better with Wilson, you draft 11 or 12, who do you get next year? I don't want to hear about Manning.
Exactly, and I don't want to hear about Manning. He's not coming out next year, and I don't want to hear about next year either. They don't have a next year. Thanks for the call, Richie. 888-808-1019. We will get into the draft later on. But again, I'm going to say something I've been saying about the Giants and this regime. These guys should have been fired. You know what I'm saying? Like, they shouldn't be the guys making the decision. That's why it's contentious right now, because there are people in the building saying, we have not taken a swing on a quarterback in the draft. So when Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson flame out, and we're back to Tommy DeVito, or we're just, you know, meddling with these quarterbacks that in our own division, you got to go up against Jaden Daniels. You got to go up against Jalen Hurts. Dak Prescott's going to come back, and who knows what the Cowboys are going to be, but we know 2 years ago when he was healthy, he put up MVP numbers. So I just feel like these guys shouldn't be here making these decisions because they do have a bunch of different things pulling them in different ways. They did scout Shedeur Sanders all this past football season. And now after everybody has scouted him and graded him, I just was reading something about a scout saying it was the worst interview that they had with a player, how he's so entitled, how he takes, you know, too many sacks, and how he blames his teammates, and he's not that good, and all this negative stuff is coming out. So there's a lot of smoke and mirrors. But I went from thinking that the Giants had to take Shedeur Sanders at three to Joe Shane saying, okay, we're going after Matthew Stafford. We're going after Aaron Rodgers. Strike one, strike two. Okay, Jameis Winston. I still was on board with taking Sanders with Jameis Winston. Then they signed Russell Wilson and Sierra and Futures Kid, and I'm like, bruh, what's going on here? Are you casting for the next Hard Knocks? Because now it makes no sense to take a quarterback with your third overall pick. Take the best player available. And the report that came out today is that the Browns and Giants are fielding trade calls. Okay, they should. Answer every call, even when you're on the clock. Answer every single call. But it seems like there's too many cooks in the kitchen. It seems like there's too many different ways for the Giants, and that's how you make a mistake. A wise man told me you want to make the wrong decision, ask everybody. You know, get everybody's opinion on a decision that you should make in your life, and I guarantee you make the wrong one. Jack is in Flanders, New Jersey on the fan. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm all right. You know, I don't really, you know, I don't really care about that the Yankees lost. I don't really care that the Mets are winning. I do care more that, like, the Devils, like, maybe if you had Jack Hughes, you could get another goal scored in the two periods after. But, yeah, what you got?
I just want to point out that we are only 24 games into a season right now, and we're 14-10 despite what everyone is saying, where we're playing like garbage defensively. Our bats aren't hitting that they're supposed to. I have full confidence in Cody Bellinger, Jazz Chisholm. I still have confidence in Anthony Volpe to take the next step up. We're only 24 games in. There's still 138 left. I think it's kind of outrageous that so many people are kind of acting like the season's over when 2 years ago, for the 2022, we were like 58-23, and then in the second half of the season, we were like a game over 500. It just doesn't make any sense. I feel like it's the same pattern where during the season, you're looking for runs, and to judge this team so hard after 24 games, I get it. You know, in New York sports, you got to be in the moment. It just doesn't make any sense that we're acting like the season's already over, that Cody Bellinger is already a wash and we shouldn't re-sign him and stuff like that. I just feel like you got to give these guys more time, especially in a baseball season where we have 138 games left.
I mean, that's very well said and rational, and thank you for that, Jack, but like that doesn't really work around here. Like, I'm not going to waste my time with that, because you know what? We're in it now. And these are daily and nightly radio shows, and even Twitter. People can send 1,000 tweets a day. They were ready to demote Devin Williams, and I told people to back off of that until the last outing where I was like, unacceptable. 8-4, they give you another soft landing spot. Have at it. Say what you want about Devin Williams. I'm not saying that I would demote him, but like, if you guys want to say whatever about the beard policy and this guy not being what he was, you know, advertised as, and Luke Weaver should be, go for it. Cody Bellinger. We got Cody Bellinger for Cody Poteet. Cody Poteet is with the Orioles. The Yankees did not trade the Orioles to get Cody Bellinger, you know. The Cubs, who, go Cubs, go. The Cubs are pretty good. The Cubs didn't need him, and they let him go. So, you know, we won that trade. But Cody Bellinger's just got to stay healthy with the back and not eating bad wings and get going. Tonight was just tough, man. Tonight was tough. I also, like, you know, I understand that it is not, we're not in the summer yet. It'll warm up, and these guys will loosen up, and they'll be more free, and it'll get better. But it's not that they lost. It's how they lost, right? I think Yankee fans are mad with how they lost. They're 14-10, but I easily could look at the schedule and be like, they should be 17-7. There were games that they had, and like I said about Will Warren, you could go back and look at every one of the games that Will Warren has pitched so far. You could argue that the Yankees should have won all of those games. But there were little decisions and moments and things and mistakes that didn't go their way. You know, they should have beat Tampa on Saturday. Getting walked off in the boss, inexcusable. Being up 8-4, inexcusable. They should have swept the Pirates. That last game of the Pirates series was a Will Warren start. They should have beat the Arizona Diamondbacks that first game. That first game of the Arizona Diamondbacks series where they had the lead. They were up 4-2. Yeah, they should have won that game. But, you know, we're baseball fans, man. We are living and dying with every pitch. And I've said this forever. As a baseball fan, you want to be the general manager of your team every single day. And that's why I said, as Yankee fans, we're looking at Cashman today, and we're looking at, again, some of the holes in this roster. And, again, looking at Boone and some decisions being made with, I just felt like in the sixth inning, you tried to stretch Tyler Warren. NFL draft on my brain. We'll get there. The Jets are not taking Tyler Warren, but they should. You tried to stretch Will Warren, and it backfired, right? If you possibly start that inning and say, all right, kid, you know, and if you look at Will Warren's numbers, like him pitching, I get it. I get the attempt, but then he immediately gives up two knocks, and I already you know, rehashed that. It is what it is. At the end of the day, the Yankees, they are a good team. They are a first-place team. Did the Red Sox win that game? And who cares about the standings? But, like, this is what we do. We watch the game. We analyze the game. We felt like this is a game they should have won. And I'll give you three reasons. You start the game with a Ben Rice leadoff homer after he missed some time, and he comes right back and spots you an early lead against Bybee, and you make him work, and you get him up out of the game. Most people were looking at the matchup between young Will Warren and Tanner Bybee and saying, oh, that's, you know, That's Cleveland's winning that game. But then when the game goes a certain way where, you know, you get into their bullpen and you try to stretch out Will Warren and he doesn't get an out in the sixth, and you go to Leiter Jr. and Leiter Jr. gets the best hitter in their lineup out, but then little mistakes and things come into play where that inning cost you the game. And that was the inning you tacked on your insurance run, right? You could have won that game 2-0. You could have won that game 2-1. And then when you go meekly in the ninth inning with four pitches, it's just not a good look. It's not that they lost. They're going to lose a bunch of games. It's how they lost them. And nightly, we go over how they lost. 888-808-1019. They lost a Ben Rice leadoff homer game, a Will Warren start where he retired 10 in a row, and a day where Aaron Judge went 4-for-4. You can't win with those three factors? The defending American League champs facing the team that you defeated in the AL. CS? I don't know. Mike is out on Long Island. Mike, you got it next.
Hey, what up, Keith?
What's up, Mike?
How you doing, bro? I'm a big fan. I'm a young Yankees fan. You got a great head on your shoulders. I love listening to you, bro. I just wanted to talk about, Ben Rice comes back, hits that leadoff home run, and then everyone is not hitting except Aaron Judge. And no one's hitting. It's dead. I mean, I don't know what's going on. And then if Stanton comes back, Rice won't play anymore. I'm scared of what's going to happen to him. But I don't know what's going on with everyone not getting on base. Jazz looks funky. He's fouling balls off still. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I hope they could turn regular stuff around. But if we're not going to hit the ball and then we have pitchers out, we can't rely on guys like Stroman and Will Warren's a rookie almost. What do you think about everything?
Will Warren is a whole rookie. He made his debut last year, but I think he just got over double digits as far as his MLB starts. Stroman, I hope they take their time. Supposedly his knee flared up again, and you know what? Maybe they got to shut him back down. Stanton, you mentioned coming back and Ben Rice not playing. I wouldn't be so sure that Stanton comes back and they immediately take Ben Rice out. We did hear today, Susan, I heard her in the broadcast say that Stanton hit with the team, so Stanton is progressing. I don't know if you guys follow the Somerset Patriots. Shout out to the Somerset Patriots. I'll be at the game Sunday. DJ LeMahieu was balling for the Somerset Patriots today. When we come back from the break, I'll tell you about that. DJ is on the way back. And not for nothing, Mike, right now I'm at a spot where, if DJ... I will give DJ the opportunity to fool me again.
Yeah.
I will give him another chance to fail.
We have a hole at third.
Because right now we need a bat, though. Like, and we know what DJ used to be. If DJ could be a half of what he used to be, that bat in
he's
the lineup,
champion back then.
When you have Jazz striking out, Volpe striking out, Dominguez striking out, like, bring him on. Yeah. Cabrera going 0 for 4.
I went to the second game this year. I was like, holy crap, I couldn't believe it. But like ever since then, it's been like so boring. I'm like,
that's whatever. A great point, Mike. Thank you for the call and the compliments. If you take out the Brewers series, here's a little exercise for you. Take out the Brewers series and go look at the Yankees games and how much they're scoring. I think somebody actually tweeted this at me, so I'm going to go steal it from him. Like, they're not almighty offensively like we thought. I'll go find the tweet. We're up against it. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I'm talking to the Mets fans that are calling my show. I can't wait to talk about my Make It Happen Mets. Keith McPherson on the Fan BRB.